We celebrated the feast of St. Blaise this past Wednesday. We will have the blessing of throats immediately after Holy Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We spoke last week of a mythical individual whose name was Aelred. Today we will give some consideration to his wife, whose name is Miriam. Miriam is 34. As I said last week, they have three children. They have not had what you would call a stormy marriage, but there was a time shortly after their marriage when it might have fallen apart. When Miriam fell in love with Aelred, she fell very deeply in love, at least so she thought, but she did not know him. She liked his lightheartedness and his quick humor and his affability. He was a pleasant person. But after they were married for almost 2 full years, they did not have any children. And her husband began to get old. I mean by that, old to her. She got used to him and she saw through him, as it were. She saw that he was always out for himself, didn't do very much for anyone except himself, and always had money for his own wants. Three things account for the fact that she stayed with him during these days. One is that she is a very home-type person, and she enjoyed making a home. She is a very industrious woman. In fact, if anything, she works too hard. She cannot sit down. We might almost describe her as a workaholic, because she cannot even sit down and read a book. And when she tries to pray, her mind is still just racing away with all kinds of home business, the things she has to do, and with other things which we'll mention in a moment. Also, I guess she would have left her husband if it had not been for her deep-rooted faith. She is, as we know, a traditionalist Catholic. She has been a serious-minded Catholic all her life, or so she thinks of herself. And so even though she became disenchanted with her husband, she really could not consider seriously leaving him. And finally, she conceived, and with the coming of her children, she has found it possible to live with her husband without much complaint. She would not really like to be asked the question whether she loves her husband. She does know that she is able to put up with his irritating faults and his terrible ego. And also, he lets her have a free hand in the home. And he is a good provider. Miriam does not know herself very well. She thinks she is what everybody thinks she is, a very fervent Catholic. because she's very faithful about her Catholic duties. She would never miss Mass. And she goes to confession fairly regularly. She is highly dependable. Everybody depends upon her, and she finds time for everybody. And whenever she agrees to do something, she does it well, flawlessly, with the consequence that she does not really have time to look very deeply into her soul. When she goes to confession, she admits little flare-ups of her temper, her impatience with the slowness and laziness and inefficiency of others. She admits now and then that she is too interested in hearing gossip, that she gives in to vanity more about her home than her appearance, because her home is her castle and she takes great delight in it. As I said, she is really a homebody, and nothing is more curious to her than the fact that certain women are so anxious to get out of the home. She cannot understand how women would like to get into business or dream of competing with men and making a lot of money. I guess if the truth be told, she'd rather someone else make the money and she can spend it. But that's not her main fault. Her main fault is that her religion is really a sham. Very few people would ever dream such a thing because she is so dutiful and so faithful. But Miriam does not adore God so much, nor does she adore herself. She adores her children. Her whole life is tied up and entangled with her children. And they are attractive young ones. They are bright. They do well in school, and all of them are athletically inclined, so that there is much that she can be proud of them about. Two of the three, the two girls, have musical talent. And her son, who is the oldest, well, he is very bright in school, always leads his class, and none of the three cause anybody much trouble. What Miriam cannot see, because they are fairly orderly children, they get along fairly well at home, and they go to church, go to confession. What she cannot see is that their religion is only also a facade. It never has taken, very much like the individual mentioned in today's gospel who hears the word of God, but the cares and the affairs of the world absorb him too deeply. What Miriam does not know is that none of these children is going to keep the faith. All three of them are going to fall in love with someone not of the faith and are going to just drift away, never come back. And she could never blame this on herself, but she is greatly responsible because she has taught these children to adore themselves. They do it with certain quietness. No one thinks of them as being conceited, but they love themselves even more than she loves them. And she loves them more than she loves God. Her whole life, as I said, is involved with them. All her joy is her vicarious enjoyment of their success and the things they achieve and the admiration that she gets for them, and that they get for their accomplishments. You can see, therefore, how she also is plagued with pride. But it's not the same kind of pride at all that her husband is contaminated with. Her pride is not in herself at all. She pays little attention to herself. But you dare criticize one of her children, and you see that she does care. Now and then, the children, one or the other of them, get into a little scrape at school, and Miriam is a tigress. The idea of anyone finding any fault with any of her children. But because they do so well, this doesn't happen often, and so what Miriam is a secret even to herself. She has never really probed her motivations. She doesn't realize how little she loves God. It would be unthinkable to say that she is in the state of sin or really has no faith. But sometime in the future, if she's to save her soul, that question is going to be asked. Does she have any love for Christ at all? We offer these profiles to you, my dear people, to remind you that a person can really be such an enigma to himself that no one will guess. And because most people really do not probe into their souls, into their real motives, and because they're able to keep the front of piety and fidelity, and because few of them have a spiritual director who will tell them what they are, few will reveal enough about themselves that even the confessor would know. People can go through their lives having nothing but the semblance of faith. And they can do such an excellent job of it that they themselves never dream. The fault of Miriam is that she is a naturalist. The ideals that she has for her children are not the love of God, no fear that they will lose their souls because they're such healthy and such active and quick-minded children, because they do so well at anything they undertake, and because they are a reflection of herself, she also does well. She's a naturalist because her motives are not supernatural. She loves her children because of themselves, not for the love of Christ. She dreams of earthly success for them, not for their salvation, not for their sanctity. She does not even consider that seriously, because as far as she's concerned, it'll follow in due course. And this is the kind of thing that we can deceive ourselves with. Our motives can be purely natural, purely human, and therefore without merit. And we can struggle hard, suffer greatly, sacrifice constantly, but there is nothing to show for it in the end, because it is not for Christ. There is no divine content in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.